Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
The Game.
College football game time, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Goforth alongside John Chuckery, Randy McMichael. Final hour for us. Brad Nessler joins us in 20 minutes. We kick things off here with our Max of the Week, as is tradition. Randy McMichael, he will lead us off this week. Randy, yeah. Your Max of the Week.
Well, I mean, it was a lot of great performances. And you know, I'm sure that everybody's going to pick Devonta Smith. I mean, he was simply unguardable last weekend. I know it's Mississippi State, and guys, they scored 41 points. I thought they were going to go for 70. I honestly thought that they were just going to keep on piling up the points on Mississippi State. But, yeah, Devonta Smith, he had 11 receptions, 203 yards, four touchdowns. I know Jalen Waddle's a big loss, but you still got this guy. And the young man, he's such a technician as a route runner, and that he can get behind you and do different things. I can see him being a first-round draft pick. But, yeah, he was brilliant last weekend against Mississippi State. Grayson McCaulk, we talked about Coastal Carolina. They're surprising a lot of people without themselves. And you look at him at the quarterback position, he's done such a great job of managing that team. Last weekend against Georgia State, he was 18-24. For 254 and four touchdowns. He also had a rushing touchdown for them in that win over Georgia State last weekend. Then Chris Olave, 7 for 120 and two touchdowns. He's a wide receiver from Penn State. Everybody knows that great touchdown that he had. But, I mean, he has been a productive guy. And him and Justin Fields, and, of course, I could have put Justin there because he is such a straight baller this year. But you know, I wanted to give somebody else some credit. Eventually, I put Justin Fields in there. But he's playing at a magnificent level. And, you know, just the fact is that, damn it, if Ohio State doesn't recycle wide receivers and cornerbacks, I don't know what. So those are my Max of the Week. And don't forget, guys, the College Football Game Time is brought to you by Dos Equis, who is a proud sponsor of the College Football Playoffs in 2020. Drink Dos Equis, a most interesting beer.
All right, that's Randy McMichael's Max of the Week. Guys, I'll give you mine real quick. How about Travis Etienne? 224 yards from scrimmage and two touchdowns. When Clemson needed him last week without Trevor Lawrence being on the field, Travis Etienne, or as Don Munson told us earlier, the pronunciation in Louisiana is Travis Etienne. When they needed him, the guy came through for them big.
Is he the best offensive player in college football?
No.
Well, you can make a strong argument.
Make a strong argument for it, though.
Yeah.
If he's not, who is?
Well, there's that Justin Fields guy.
Yeah, that guy in Ohio State.
Ohio State. So, it's in my opinion, it would come down to one of those two. So, how about a little name from the past for you? Nick Starkel, the former quarterback at Arkansas.
He's still playing quarterback?
He is at San Jose State now, threw for 467 yards.
Are they 5-0, San Jose State?
Yeah. They are.
Yeah. Five touchdowns last week for Nick Starkel. And then my last one here, my Max of the Week, another quarterback, Carson Strong at Nevada, already has 1,181 yards passing and nine touchdowns. He did that through the first three games.
They're undefeated too, right? Aren't they undefeated as well?
I think they have one loss.
Okay.
I think they're
1-2 out there in the WAC or whatever it is that they play in, right?
Yes. Yes. And that has, WAC after dark has kind of gotten a little better than Pac-12.
You know what's
after
funny,
dark,
though, Chris? San Jose, they were one of the worst FBS programs. Just remember how garbage
they
were?
Oh,
yeah.
They were, I mean, they were really one of the worst FBS programs in the country. And to think that they're like 5-0 right now undefeated is crazy because they were, I mean, not even just like 2 years ago. You know, what was it? That year that that Auburn started Jimmy Johnson at quarterback, they played. And some of those teams that they had, I mean, were disgraceful that they were putting out there. Awful.
By the way, John, you are correct. Nevada, I just looked it up. Nevada is 3-0.
Yeah, I think both them and San Jose State are both undefeated and yep. like 1-2 out there in the WAC or whatever it is out there.
Mountain West.
Mountain West, sorry.
Yep.
Yes.
So Carson
Strong. I'm all whacked out, sorry.
Carson Strong, the quarterback at Nevada, 1,181 yards passing, 9 touchdowns through the first 3 games. That is more yards than Tua had last year, and it's the most ever by a college quarterback in his first 3 games since at least the year 2000. Passed for 350 last week against UNLV, threw for 411 and a couple of more touchdowns Thursday night this week against Utah State. So Carson Strong, my last Mac of the week.
All right, my Max of the week. Let's go Texas linebacker Joseph Osai, who was a wrecking crew in that game against Oklahoma State. We talked about the fact that Texas, when you look at their stats, I mean, Ellinger and all those guys didn't look impressive, but Osai the linebacker, 12 tackles. He had 3 sacks, 6 tackles for loss in that game and was just a one-man
wrecking crew. He won that game by himself.
Yeah, he was a one-man wrecking crew in that game. I mean, to help Texas get the upset win. Finally, they beat somebody who was, you know, at least ranked. I gave, you know, another Mac of the Week to Rocky Lombardi, the quarterback for Michigan State. You know, the previous week against Rutgers, Chris, he had had 2 interceptions and was sacked 3 times. And, you know, 17 for 32, not great, but he did throw for 323 yards, 3 touchdowns, and as we said, no interceptions. So, you know, he went from two picks and 3 sacks against Rutgers to no interceptions, no sacks in that game against Michigan. And, of course, they get the big upset win. And then, you know, here we go. I got to go with my new favorite group in college football, the Cincinnati defense. Here we go, Chris. Memphis came into this game averaging 551 yards of offense. They got 321. They came in, Randy, rushing for 207 yards a game. They got 5.
Oof.
They were coming in at a 49.3% third down conversion. They went 25%. They came into the game, Chris, 9-for-9 on fourth down conversions. They were 0-for-3 in the game. And their 6 punts, Randy, was as many punts as they'd had in the previous 2 games combined. Cincinnati's defense, I mean, took it to Memphis. I mean, that game was over quickly, and Memphis was never able to get anything going in that game against Cincinnati. And, you know, their defense just keeps rolling along. They don't have to be great on offense. None of those teams are scoring. I mean, and they've gotten through Memphis and SMU without barely a scratch on them. So I don't know what offense is going to put up numbers that they're going to play the rest of the year.
By the way, Rocky Lombardi, maybe the best name in college football in
2020. Oh, it's a great name. And I really did diss him last week. I don't apologize for it because he stunk the week before.
Yeah, he did. He was dreadful.
He stunk the week before. But good for him for having a good game.
Listen, I mean, you know, week to week, Randy, right? I mean, you know, in college football, man. And you know, that's – Randy, is that one of the great things about college football is when you've got 18, 19, 20-year-olds, their resiliency, you know, they just kind of – slough off the previous week and move on to the next week. You know,
maybe they have to sometimes. JC. I think that's just a part of being a competitor. But the one thing about it is because they're 18 and 19, it's easy for them to get in the dumps too. You know, it's easy. Nick Saban used to always say to get in the poor me's. That's what you can get a lot of times. I mean, I'm not saying Lombardi is a world beater. I think he stinks, but he did play well last week. I think collectively as a whole, Michigan State played well. I think they played well enough. I think Michigan they got me again, damn it.
It's college football game time here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Guys, let's go around the ACC. We've already talked a little bit about this Clemson-Notre Dame game already. Let's circle back around to it one more time, and then we'll try to touch on some of these other games if time allows. If Notre Dame wins today, John, is the win devalued because they do it without Trevor Lawrence on the field for Clemson?
No, not at all. It's still the number one team in America. And they're still the primetime team, and everybody looks at, you know, DJ as the next up-and-coming quarterback. They still got Travis Etienne. They've still got their wide receivers. No, not at all. This is – if you like trench warfare, you know, that Clemson defense against, you know, the Notre Dame offensive line, Randy, that's what this game is about. I mean, Clemson's still statistically one of the best, you know, groups in the country when you talk about sacks and tackles for loss and things like that. But at Notre Dame offensive line, man, you know, we didn't talk about Tech and Notre Dame last week. I thought Tech played a lot better than they did against Clemson. But that was just Notre Dame exerting their will, Randy. I mean, it wasn't that Tech was bad. It wasn't that Tech wasn't, you know, was giving them turnovers or penalties. Really, the turnovers and penalties were literally the same. That literally was just Notre Dame exerted their will against Georgia Tech.
That's what it was. Come here. Let me put you 5 yards back. That's exactly what it was. And you know, that's going to be the test today for Clemson in their defense. They are missing their starting middle linebacker, and they're starting and probably their best interior defensive lineman. So it is going to be a test. I just think Clemson has too much for Notre Dame. But I mean, let's not fool ourselves. Ian Book's played in big football games, so this is not one of those situations where like, oh, the game is going to be no. This Notre Dame, Brian Kelly's teams have played in big football games. Now, they haven't won a lot of them, but they have played in those games. So the pressure of playing against Clemson and all those things is not going to affect them one bit.
And Clemson's a road favorite in this game, right?
Yeah, I know. What is it, 7?
Yeah.
Yeah. What was the line? What is the line for this game?
Yeah, I think it's less than a touchdown.
JC, you said it was so crazy, and it reared its ugly head last week. Until North Carolina learns how to win, all that talent's for naught, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, they went and got upset at Virginia last weekend.
Yep.
Until they learn how to win, you're absolutely correct.
Clemson's favored by 5.5, by the way. Liberty and Virginia Tech. Liberty ranked in the top 25 for the first time in school history. Of course, they haven't been an FBS team very long. They are number 9 in the nation, averaging 256 yards rushing per game. This is a 12 o'clock kickoff, so about 45 minutes from now on the ACC network. But look, Liberty's a really nice story this year, but they haven't ran up against anything like what they're going to see today from Virginia Tech. This Virginia Tech, they've been a little Jekyll and Hyde, but they've ran for more than 300 yards 3 times this year, and I just get the feeling that Virginia Tech is going to kind of push Liberty around a little bit today.
This game is a 16.5-point spread. I think Virginia Tech wins, but can Liberty cover that?
I think so, yeah.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
About 14. I think it's a 2-touchdown win by Virginia Tech. UNC and Duke today. Duke's terrible against the pass. Sam Howell should have a chance to just light him up today.
We'll
That's
see.
Another new kickoff.
Yeah, I like Jerry Stackhouse and Rasheed Wallace in this game a lot. Yeah. So.
Brad Nessler, he is the voice of the SEC on CBS. He'll join us when we come back. It's college football game time. Talking more Florida, Georgia. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the radio.com app.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Oh! College football game time. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the radio.com app. Chris Goforth, Randy McMichael, John Chuckery. Glad to be with you on this Saturday morning. Joining us on the waitfor.com hotline, the voice of the SEC on CBS, it's Brad Nessler. Brad, we know and we've talked a lot today about the guys that are missing for Georgia today. How about the guys that are missing today for Florida? Can you fill us in on who's a go and who won't be available for Florida?
Well, I think, Chris, they're healthier than they have been, which is good from the COVID standpoint. You know, they went through a 2-week period where they basically didn't even practice and missed a game. They're going to miss Zach Carter for the first half because of the fight with Missouri last week. But I think other than that, you know, I talked to Dan Mullen yesterday for probably a half an hour. Or talked with him on Zoom, I should say. And he says he thinks that this is as close as they've been to being, you know, full go with everybody. So I think they're 100% healthy compared to Georgia for sure.
Oh, no doubt about it. And it's always good to talk to you, Ness. And, you know, we talk about the matchups and all these things, who's not there, who is there. Who are what's the storyline that you don't think a lot of people are paying attention to in this Georgia-Florida game?
Man, I don't know, Randy. It's the ones that, you know, just jump out at you. Can you stop Kyle Pitts and can you stop Kadarius Toney, I think, if you're Georgia? And you know, they've done a good job of that in past years. I mean, this is they played 3 games with Mullen as head coach at Florida, and they've scored 4 touchdowns against Kirby's defense. So I don't know if that's a case where Kirby's got his number. I don't know. I think this is a better Florida team. I know I talked to you guys at the beginning of the season, and I thought this was the year that instead of just closing the gap, Florida could, you know, win the East, and I still think that. You know, their offense is fun to watch, and they're pretty dangerous, to say the least. And the weird thing for Georgia, I think, is that most defensive-minded coaches like Kirby always say they want to get somebody to play one-dimensional. If that means stopping Florida's run, which is not a bad running game, they just don't choose to run it that much. You know, per carry, they're doing pretty well. But if you make them one-dimensional and you make them one-dimensional to pass, that's their strong suit, man, you know. So what they'd like to do is take all that away and make them run, but that's just backwards compared to what most ball games and how most ball games go.
Yeah, Brad, it's crazy to think that Georgia's only got two returning starters from this game last year on offense that will be on the field today, but the philosophy remains the same. It feels like a game, Brad, where, you know, if I say Georgia's got to throw it more than 18 times, they're going to be in trouble. But if their rushing total is, you know, more than 45, I think Georgia's in real good shape. It just feels like one of those kinds of games today where you keep it simple and, for lack of a better term, you kind of play Kirby ball today.
Yeah, you know, they did that last week, and I think a lot of people think, well, were they holding anything back against Kentucky? That's just the way that game went, you know. That was a rock fight, and, you know, there was only, I think, six possessions on one side and seven on the other, and so you keep the ball for 10.5 minutes or whatever Kentucky did to get one field goal. You're not going to get many opportunities to put points on the board. I think Georgia's got to throw it today, at least some. They got to mix it up. They can't play like they played last week, because they just won't outscore Florida, I don't think. You know, if they do rush for 250, like you said, they'll probably win the game, because it's been 14 straight years now that whoever runs the ball the best wins this game. So if they do that, that's fine. But if they run for 160, they better hope to hell they throw for 220 or they're not going to win the game.
Georgia-Florida today at 3:30. You can watch it on CBS. Brad Nessler will have the call, and he's with us here on College Football Game Time on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Brad, based off of what you've seen from the Georgia offense down, from conversations that you've had with coaches, Dan Mullen and others, what do you think Todd Grantham's game plan is today to try to make Stetson Bennett as uncomfortable as possible?
I think the biggest thing is he thinks that Jeremiah Moon and Brenton Cox, the former Georgia player, if they can win their one-on-ones with Georgia's tackles and put enough pressure on Stetson Bennett and then win the one-on-ones on the corner against a questionable receiving core, and I don't mean to pick on Georgia's receiving core. They're not healthy, and Pickens isn't going to play again. But, you know, there's been a little bit of a disconnect there. You know, you kind of blame Stetson for the last two games, five picks. I mean, you look at some of those and you go, yeah, catch that ball and that's not an interception. Knock that one down, that's not an interception. Don't break your route off and that's not an interception. Right. You know, so the receivers have to be really good. But I think the corners, you know, we're probably going to see some third and Grantham. He's going to bring it, you know, on third down and try to make a 5'11 quarterback uncomfortable. And he said yesterday, too, that pressure up the middle maybe is as big a deal, and they got Kyrie Campbell back in on the front, you know, as one of the defensive tackles, and he makes a big difference, guys. I mean, he's a big body in there, and he does put pressure up the middle, and we know that Stetson Bennett has had some issues with getting balls batted down and that type of thing. So the Florida defense, you know, everybody looks at it and say they've given up a lot of points. If you watch last week's game, they're coming around. I think they've kind of found the guys they want in certain spots that maybe were backups, and they found out either through COVID or injury or just reps that some of the backup guys are actually better than the guys that started the season. So they're better than their numbers look right now, and they're going to try to make number 13 as totally uncomfortable as they can.
Ness, you said, I know you talked to both head coaches before the game and everything. You already said you talked to Coach Mullen. Which coach has the most pressure? I would know both coaches want to win, but if you look at where Georgia is right now and where Florida's trying to get, we've won three straight. You have Stetson Bennett, a banged-up defense. Which team has the most pressure on them today?
I think it's Florida, Randy, just because of what I said, you know, three straight losses. I think Mullen's, if you go back to when he was a coordinator and also Mississippi State, I think he's
10-1.
Like 1-7, you know, against Kirby. Kirby was a coordinator, a head coach. You know, and like I said, the gap's been closing. I think Dan's personality, you know, especially this year, has kind of made this even a bigger game. I mean, this is three straight years with both these teams are in the top 10. So, I mean, it can't get much bigger, you know, the stakes. And you win the East, you win this game, you're probably going to win the East and go to Atlanta. But I think just the fact that Georgia's had their number three straight years, I think the pressure's on Florida. And then after last week, you know, Dan lost a little bit of cheese there with his whole Darth Gator thing and inciting the crowd and being involved in the fight and all that stuff. So, I mean, you know, it's put up or shut up, I think. If you're going to make a big deal out of yourself, and he does that at times, it's just his personality. I don't know if he's trying to be a little bit of Steve Spurrier or if it's just he's gotten to this point, you know, where he's a big-time deal and people know he's a really, really good coach. And he's trying to be the bad guy in this series right now coming into this game compared to Kirby anyway.
You know, Brad, you brought up about Kyle Pitts. I mean, obviously the focal point of this Florida offense and Richard LeCount out, so you have your all-conference safety that's not going to be in. Christopher Smith steps in. Also looks like Mark Webb will probably be one of the guys that will get a lot of assignments against him today. They grew up together, I think, if I remember right. So they, you know, it's obviously not the same. Is that enough to slow him down? I mean, you know, how does Georgia try to keep him, you know, from doing what he does, especially as he gets in the red zone?
Yeah, that's a great question, and I don't know the answer to that, and I'm not sure if Dan Lanning knows the answer to that. You know, the weird thing is that you can't just say, well, let's bracket him or let's double-team him because you got Kadarius Toney, and if you don't think that Mullen's going to have both those guys on the same side of the field some of the time today, you're crazy because they're going to move those two, get them over on the same spot. If Georgia decides, hey, we got to double-cover these guys, They can't do that because there'd be four defenders on two guys and the other side of the field's wide open and the other receivers they got are not chopped liver, you know, so you just can't do it that way. Nobody's been able to stop him so far. I don't know what the answer is. LeCount is a huge loss because he's just such an instinctive player. I don't think this was kind of weird. Kirby told me this yesterday. You know, he said there's a misconception that Richard LeCount is calling all the defensive shots back there in the back end. He said J.R. Reed did that. Just because LeCount moved into that spot doesn't mean that he's the greatest play caller back there. He actually says that Chris Smith, he trusts him as much, if not more, to make the right calls. By the same token, Chris Smith is not as athletically gifted as Richard LeCount. So you're giving up instinct and a great player for a guy that's just as smart and hopefully makes the right calls to get Georgia in the right positions. But you know, stopping Pitts, I don't know, man. And then stopping Kadarius Toney. You've got to tackle him in space, and he's a slippery dude. He's starting to look more and more like Percy Harvin as the weeks go along.
Brad Nessler from CBS and the SEC on CBS. Florida, Georgia today, 3:30, the kickoff from Jacksonville.
Georgia, sorry, Florida, Randy. Chris.
Georgia, Florida, yay. Listen, Brad, the last 14 years, we've talked about this stat. The team that runs the ball the best wins this game for the last 14 meetings. Does that hold true for a 15th time today?
I think it does if, you know, Georgia runs for 250. I don't think Florida can run the ball on Georgia. I really don't. Like I said, I think their per carry average between their guys is good, but they just choose not to. That's just not what they are right now. I mean, they got a quarterback that's thrown 18 touchdown passes through four games. Why go away from that? You know, and they're not, you know, they're not Mike Leach. They're not just throwing it all over for the heck of it. They know how to get it in the playmaker's hands. They've got a really smart quarterback. I think if Georgia goes 230 running the ball, they'll win. If it's under 200, it's a little shaky.
Well, we'll see, because right now, Ness, I mean, there's so many things, you know, we talk about we say every fourth year, whenever team won three in a row, the fourth year the other team wins. I don't believe that's going to happen today, Ness. But, I mean, when you look at the overall, and I know you're going to wait till 3:27 to make your prediction, who are you leaning to, Ness?
I can't predict these things, man. I'm not smart enough, man. You know that.
We've seen Georgia get the lead early the last couple of years, Brad, and kind of take control of the game. How important do you think it is for a fast start today for Florida?
Well, you know, for Florida or for Georgia, if Florida gets a fast start, that's not good for the Dogs, that's for sure. But if Georgia plays anywhere near on third down like they did last year, that would be great. You know, that was what won them the game last year. They went 12 out of 18. It's probably Jake Fromm's best game actually last year. If Stetson can do something like that, I think they've got a really good chance to make it four straight. But I don't know. A lot of factors in this one, man.
Brad, appreciate the time, man. Enjoy the game today.
Thanks, Brad.
Appreciate it, yes.
Well, I got to go iron my shirt, guys, and then I'll see you at 3:30.
Tell Gary right. You say what's up.
You got it, Randy.
All right.
Brad Nessler, the voice of the SEC on CBS, he'll be on the call today for the Georgia-Florida game from Jacksonville. You can find Brad, by the way, on Twitter, at Brad_Nessler CBS. And I appreciate him giving us some time. Good to be able to visit with him on a game day. We don't get that opportunity too much during the season. We're going to get to our picks when we come back. And, guys, I want to swing back around before we get out of here today and maybe try to touch on some of these other ACC games and for that matter, some of the Big Ten games or Big 12 games we haven't been able to get to yet.
Are you getting excited to talk BC Syracuse, Chris?
I am. That's what I can't wait to hear your breakdown.
I told Brian, one thing that didn't get on the rundown is – Mac was back. We had the Mac back on Wednesday. All 12 teams played, and you know Gebhardt over here. He was too busy, you know, getting ready for the Giants game to, you know, put that on the rundown.
How'd Akron do?
The Mac was back.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Everybody played.
Hey, college football game time. It's brought to you by ESOG Engineered Solutions of Georgia. A proud partner of the Georgia Bulldogs. We'll give you three winners and an upset special when we come back. It's college football game time, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Yes!
College football game time here, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
We got this, Randy. We got this today. We got it, Randy. We're going to get it.
Jeez.
I'm not even worried about him.
It's time for some picks. We give you three winners and an upset special. We do this every week. And 2 weeks ago, we had what was maybe collectively one of the worst weeks ever here on College Football Game Time.
We followed it up.
Yeah, so let's see how we did last week. Let's start with that first. We'll give you kind of how we did last week. These were my predictions from a week ago here on College Football Game Time. Ohio State over Penn State. I like Auburn over LSU. Cincinnati over Memphis today. And for my upset, just for you, Randy, I like Air Force, a 14-point dog at home over Boise State today. All right, I'll take 3-1.
Yeah, and that wasn't that bad of a game. What was the final score?
They lost by like 10.
Yeah, I was gonna say they didn't cover. They didn't. I don't think they covered the spread, but it wasn't that bad of a pick.
Let's go with Randy McMichael last week here on College Football Game Time.
All right, so Chris, I'm gonna go. I'm also with you. I think Ohio State is gonna beat Penn State. I like A&M over Arkansas today. I think North Carolina will go and beat Virginia. And for my upset special, damn it, Chris, we got it the same thing again. I also am going Air Force as a 14.5-point dog at home to keep the ball away from Boise State simply because there was nothing else that I can go with. So I'm going Air Force Boise. That is my upset special. The fighting Greg Popoviches.
You know, Randy, the thing is, I'm all over this North Carolina team. I'm excited about them, and I want to pick them, but I just can't, you know. And I've just avoided picking them by and large in some of these games because it's like I don't trust them anymore. They're getting to where they're hard to trust for all the personnel they have and all the hype and the hoopla.
Yeah, man,
it's just getting hard to trust them right now.
I'm with you right there, man. I mean, when I'm sitting there watching the game, it's like, damn, look at all that talent.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's all I kept saying. Like, look at all of them. And Matt got other guys coming
in. Oh yeah, they got more kids coming. Yeah, especially defensively.
Yeah, man, that's all I kept saying. Wow.
We take a look back at how we did last week on our picks. Here's John Chuckery's from a week ago.
Well, Buckeye Chuckery will take Ohio State today.
You keep renaming yourself?
Huh? What do you mean?
How you keep renaming yourself? Now you Buckeye Chuckery?
I am going to ride Oklahoma State and say that they beat Texas. Mm. Today.
Yeah, your dang old pokes let you down.
Yep. I
thought everybody over the craze laughing at you.
The fighting Cincinnati Bearcats or what are they? Are they the Bearcats there? Because the Bobcats are Ohio U. They're the Bearcats.
Cincinnati's the Bearcats.
Yes, they're the Bearcats. I'll take them over Memphis. For my upset special of the week, I will take Missouri against that beat-up, banged-up, COVID-ridden Florida Gator group down in Gainesville, Florida. That'd be good.
Well, I mean, you took a shot at it.
Yeah, listen, that was
sometimes
one of the best.
You got to roll the dice.
That
right?
was actually one of the more complete games Florida's played, you know, all year. I mean, other than the fight, you know, that they did what they had to do. They did a great job defensively. They were fine offensively, you know, considering they hadn't played in a couple of weeks and everything going on. That was about as complete a game as they've played all year.
All right, let's get to some picks for this week's games now here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and College Football Game Time. I'll start first. Let's go Clemson over Notre Dame today. USC over Arizona State. I've gone back and forth on this Georgia-Florida, Florida-Georgia game all week. I guess I'm going to go with Georgia, but it's begrudgingly here.
Don't go. Don't go. With, don't guess then. Go to the other guys then, Chris.
No. I'm going just because I know it gets under your skin a little bit, Randy. I'm totally in on Georgia today now.
You can never get under my skin, but no, I don't like the waffling, the flip floppity flip.
Yeah, don't flip flop, Chris. Go with North Alabama and Southern Miss.
Well, I had written down Georgia first, and then I changed it and marked it out, and then I wrote it back down again. So this is where we are. I got Georgia over Florida, and then my upset special today: Kansas State, a 12.5 point dog at home. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Over Oklahoma State, that's my upset special. I like Kansas State to beat Oklahoma State.
Chris, I was all over that one, too.
I agree. I was looking at that one real hard, too.
I was. All right, so my picks, of course, I'm taking Georgia over Florida. I'm taking Clemson over Notre Dame. I'm going to take Indiana to beat Michigan today. And my upset special, and it's the first time I've gotten to say this all year long, Herm. I'm going with Herm Edwards and the Sun Devils of Arizona State to upset USC that probably hasn't even still got morning breakfast so early out there for that football game. Come on, Coach Herm. Coach Herm has come through for me for the last 2 years, and he's going to come through for me today.
So you got
Arizona
them,
State over USC.
You got him over the fighting Wendy, Lauren, and Alexis.
Hey, man. Hey. You crush on them, not me.
What do you guys think about the 9 o'clock local start out there for these games?
I think they'll be fine. Once you get out there, Chucker, and get that sweat going, I think the kids will be fine.
I think the biggest thing, Randy, is what I think is so smart is, look, we know how important it is for Southern Cal to be that program.
Put them on
at noon for the East Coast people to watch them. You know, don't wait till midnight to put them, you know, on for everybody to watch. Put them on early and you know, let's see what they can do. I think it's strategic by the Pac-12 to try to do this. Whether it works out is a different story, but at least the strategy makes sense to me. So,
yeah, enjoy that 5 a.m. breakfast out in L.A. if you're playing for USC this year, I guess.
Well, hey, listen, you got to do what you got to do out there. So, all right, my picks of the week. Let's start, of course, I am Bulldog Chuckery, so we got to take Georgia over Florida. Fully confident that we'll get it done, Randy. I've got Clemson over Notre Dame as well. I'm riversiding Randy, though. I will take Michigan over Indiana. I think Indiana shot their wad against Penn State.
They probably did, but I ain't going to let Michigan get me again, damn it.
No, I understand. I understand. I think Indiana had their one kind of big moment, and that's about all that they get in a year or a decade for Indiana. So I'll take Michigan over Indiana. And for my upset special of the week, I will take the fighting Ron Bass.
Wait a minute. What's he have in his hand? He's got that spur. You don't think that he's going to. What is outlaw Ron Bass going to do with that spur? Beefcake is helpless. He's almost had the life choked out of him. What? Bass. He's raking away on the forehead. Down in the eye area. I think we can't. What's he doing with that spur?
Poor Brutus the Barber Beefcake got his face cut open on national TV. They actually blurred out the image when they broadcast that originally back in 89, I think it was, because Beefcake got so bloodied up for all of it. I am taking the Fighting Ron Basses of Arkansas State to upset the Louisiana Raging Cajuns in their matchup today. One thing that Arkansas State does is they score lots of points, so I'm going to take them. I'm going to take them as my upset special to knock off the Raging Cajuns today for my pick of the week.
Well, there you have it. There's three winners and an upset special from each of us today. Guys, let's swing back around to where do we want to go first? Because we still got a couple of more games that we can get to. How about, let's see. We did talk a little bit about Oklahoma State and Kansas State. How about Houston and Cincinnati today? John, you've been talking about the Cincinnati defense and how well they have played. They're ranked in the top 15 in three out of the four major defensive categories. They've allowed only two touchdown passes all season. Central Florida ran for 353 against Houston last week. I think Cincinnati's poised to have a big day both offensively and defensively today against the Cougars.
Yeah, I think think about the last 2 weeks, about the offenses that they had to, you know, 2 weeks or 3 weeks that they played against, you know, with SMU, which was, you know, a big-time matchup for them, and then what they did to Memphis's offense last week. I just don't think Houston is any better offensively than those two clubs are. And those two, if those are the two best, you know, or at least two of the three best offenses in the AAC, those two teams did nothing against Cincinnati. And they do just enough, you know, when their defense is rolling, they do just enough offensively to help it out. I don't see any different result in this game than what we've seen, the last couple of weeks out of Cincinnati.
Either one of you two guys have thoughts on West Virginia, Texas, or SMU Temple today?
You know what? That daggone West Virginia game last week, I swear they are Jekyll. They're just a Jekyll and Hyde program, man. They should be a lot better than they are. And I was just sitting there watching that game against Kansas State, like they are really putting just all kind of boots all up in Kansas State today. That's why Kansas State might have to the upset special. Was yours, Chris? Against the Pokes? Yeah. I can see them knocking off the Pokes because, I mean, just blech. That's my thought. Blech.
With the rest. Over in the ACC, John, you mentioned it, that Boston College-Syracuse game. Syracuse going to be down two starters in the secondary. They're shaky as heck on offense already. And so this is just going to be should be another big day for BC offensively. Pitt playing FSU. Has FSU finally found a quarterback now in Jordan Travis?
For the time being,
yeah. Yeah, I was going to say for the short term.
Yeah, for we'll the time
what,
being, yeah.
We'll see what Pitt looks like. You know, they got Georgia Tech next week, so that's, take a look at Pitt because that's who Tech's going to match up. But Tech got the week off this week, so they get ready for that Pitt defense. So we'll see what Pitt does. I mean, that's another Jekyll and Hyde team. I mean,
yes, sir.
You know, they
at least they look good doing it.
Yeah, they do. They're up 1 week, down 1 week. I mean, they're like a stock market team. I mean, so they let's see what they do. Let's see if they go get beat up at all at Florida State and then, you know, have to take on, you know, the fighting Texters next week.
Not sure if Kenny Pickett's going to be able to play today for Pitt, and that offense without Kenny Pickett on the field, it's just not the same offense unless he's out there.
Oh, wait, is Wisconsin going to play another game this year or what? I mean,
they are struggling, man.
Who knows? All right, that's going to wrap it up for us today. A lot more to come here. Make sure you keep it here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and join the three of us back here again Saturday morning from 9 until noon. We do it every week. It's college football game time. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the radio.com app. Enjoy the football. We'll see you Saturday.
See you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.